One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're marching for science?
Yeah, that's a good one.
But we're not actually marching.
No, we aren't today. We can't.
We would if we could.
We would if we could.
We like science.
We do like science, and we like scientists, and we like people in science and scientists getting funding for the things they need to do to advance our society.
True.
All true.
Good open.
I feel like whenever we're recording remotely, as we have been for a while and will continue to do for a little while, we always end up, our openings kind of like drag a little bit because there's this lag and we're like not sure who's going to talk next. And I don't know.
We don't have like our immediate rapport of like talking to each other when we're setting up for recording and figuring out what we're going to say.
We also don't have the like, hey, we just went to a bar last night and like we can talk about the funny thing that happened to both of us at the bar.
Did anything funny happen to you at a bar last night?
No, but something funny happened to me with a telemarketer this week.
Do tell.
I can't remember if I told you this or not, but I guess I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, so I was at work and I got I'm from Pittsburgh and I got a phone call from an unknown Pittsburgh number. Mm-hmm. And like normally I don't pick up unknown numbers even if they come from my area code, but I was like, oh, maybe it's like a family member that didn't have my number, or you know, I bought my wedding dress in Pittsburgh, so maybe it's like the bridal salon calling me or something. So I pick up and it's some robocall about access to one, or like lowering the interest rate on one of my accounts or something.
Right,
and I was
right.
like, well, if this is this like what account? What is this talking about? So I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a scam, but I'm going to go ahead because I've gotten robocalls from my bank before.
Ugh.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to just like see what this is. So I hit one to speak to a representative and this guy gets on and he is clearly like not in America. Like this is a call center somewhere. So I was like, okay, like it's like almost definitely not legit if it's coming from a call center somewhere. I said, what account is this for? And he said, well, we represent all accounts for all credit cards. And I was like, yeah, okay. Not going to happen. And so I said, well, actually, unless this is about one of my specific accounts, I'm not interested. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That is verbatim, literally word for word, what I said to this telemarketer. If this is not for one of my specific accounts, I'm not interested. Thank you. I said, thank you to this man. And there was a pause, and then he goes, go fuck your fucking ass, and hangs up the phone.
Oh, my God. What?
Go fuck your fucking ass. Can you believe it?
After you said thank you.
Yeah, after I said I'm not interested, thank you. I was probably the nicest person who hung up, who, like, declined his services all day. Go fuck your fucking ass. And I was like,
you're probably
shocked.
The first person that actually talked to him all day.
Yeah, probably. I was
shocked. He thought he had you.
At my desk. And,
wow.
And like everyone around me at work was like, what just happened? So of course I had to like repeat the whole story to everybody. But yeah, go fuck your fucking ass. Isn't that horrible?
I think we should shorten that to just GFYFA.
Yeah, yes.
And use it now.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. We're going to start, like, hashtagging things GFYFA.
GFYFA. Wow. Well, that's much more interesting than anything that happened to me at a bar last night.
What happened to you at a bar last night?
Nothing.
Oh. I thought you just meant that you did go to a bar last night and nothing interesting happened.
I did go to a bar last night. Nothing interesting
happened. Oh. There we go.
What's a song salad?
A song salad is a delightful little treat we write using a random topic from Wikipedia in a random style of music from moodfuse.com.
You can't set the bar that high by saying it's a delightful treat.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's an emotionally neutral offering.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. So first order of business before we get to the salad spinner to see what our genre is this week. We wanted to report back on the very important poll that we put up. Our first
very
poll.
Very important.
Which team are you on? Team pancake or team waffle? And I am dismayed to report that it is an exact tie.
Completely tied up. 50%.
Completely tied up.
And this is, I made it a week-long poll. So yeah. Technically there's still 2 days left since we're recording this on Saturday. But
I'm calling it.
You're calling it a tie?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to vote, like, you should have voted. You clearly don't feel that strongly about it if you hadn't voted about it in the past 5 days. So
what's the, like, appropriate sample size to, like, make a poll worth it?
Actually statistically significant?
Yeah, yeah.
Like 200 and some people.
All right. So it's not significant anyway.
No, it is completely insignificant.
Cool. Moving on. Our salad spinner suggestion this week comes from @SedateSnail. And he says, I have a salad spinner. Kermit the Frog singing the Space Jam theme. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. So do you remember the Space Jam theme song?
Yeah.
I remember one line from it.
What line do you remember?
Come on and slam. Come on and jam.
Nope. Close.
Come on and jam. Come on and slam.
Nope. Come on and slam. And welcome to the jam.
Oh, and welcome to. See, I didn't even know that.
And then come on and slam if you want to jam.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you want to go first?
I'm scrolling through all the lyrics because it's a long song, the Space Jam theme. I'm just going to pick a section to read in a Kermit the Frog voice.
Okay.
Here we go. I can't really do a Kermit voice. Okay, here we go. Let's try it.
I'm sure that's what Dan was counting on.
Slam, bam, thank you, ma'am. Get on the floor and jam. It's the QCD on the microphone. Girl, you got me in the zone.
That's
how was that?
Very good. It's like I'm talking to Jim Henson. Wait, did he do the voice for Kermit too?
I think he originally did.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's like here.
No, I think that was like Kermit's hillbilly cousin Bubbo or something.
Yeah, it was. He was Southern for no reason.
It just kind of happened.
Oh my god.
What?
I got comedy rock.
Comedy rock?
Yeah. I got comedy rock.
Okay, we need to unpack this.
Yeah, we definitely do. And I also feel like this may be a good episode for a surprise special guest.
You think so?
I mean, we could talk about it, but let's find out about comedy
rock.
We'll
get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Comedy rock. This article may require cleanup to meet Wikipedia's quality standards. Here we go. Comedy rock is rock music mixed with comedy, often satire and parody. Early American examples include Stan Freberg, who lampooned artists such as Elvis Presley, Harry Belafonte, and The Platters, and Sheb Woolley. Freberg wrote the song Purple People Eater, which reached number one on the Billboard pop chart in 1958 and stayed there 6 weeks.
Jeez.
So I didn't know if that song was intended to be funny or not.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like the 50s being weird, like they usually
were. Yeah, same. It was like, here's like a wholesome little ditty. Ha ha.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Purple People Eater and like teeny weeny string bikini, or you know, like all this.
It's a bit teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
Yeah, same thing.
Teeny weeny string bikini. I think that's a Gunther song.
Oh yeah, it is.
Do you remember Gunther?
Teeny weeny string bikini.
Gunther can be one of our examples for comedy rock.
I think
I don't think he was trying to be funny. Yeah.
Maybe this. It seems like this may have originated in Britain, or was happening contemporaneously in Britain in the 50s and early 60s with comedians like Charlie Drake and the Goons. They appeared in the top 10 with humorous rock and roll records.
Hmm.
Oh, the Goons with Lewis Carroll and Edward Lear were to influence the wordplay of John Lennon's lyrics. Later British groups specialized in comedy. These included the Scaffold, the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band.
Funny.
And that's Alberto funny. Y Los Trios Paranoias. Later in Britain in the 2000s, Mitch Benn released several studio albums that satirized current affairs using various musical genres, but mainly rock. His 2012 Breaking Strings album was critically acclaimed for its rock sensibility.
Getting a little bit more contemporary, we have probably bands that our listeners will recognize more than the ones we've already mentioned, including Tenacious D and Flight of the Conchords.
They're so good.
Weird Al Yankovic, highest selling comedy act in history. Weird Al.
Dan Finnerty of the Dan Band, he's the one who is in Old School in the Hangover movies.
Right.
And he sings Total Eclipse of the Heart and Candy Shop. So he's not like changing the words, but he's performing it as a comedy act and not as the rock song it was originally intended as.
So what do you think a good example song would be? Maybe something from Tenacious D?
Yeah, maybe. Let's do Tenacious D or Flight of the Conchords for sure. What's your favorite Tenacious D song?
Well, I've choose Tenacious D just because I think of that more as rock than Flight of the Conchords. Mm-hmm. Flight of the Conchords kind of does a wider variety of genres. Our example this week is Tribute by Tenacious D, released on the album Tenacious D in 2001.
Needless to say, the beast was stunned. A whip crack went his rumpet tail, and the beast was done. He asked us, be you angels? And we said, nay, we are but men. Rock.
Comedy rock.
Comedy rock. Oh, no.
What?
My Audacity is playing the other track. Hold on. Okay.
Oh, great.
In my ear, I just heard, I'm Shannon. Anyway, comedy rock.
Let's get a topic, and then we can talk more about what kind of comedy rock style will fit it.
Yes, I think that's probably good. We'll fit the style to the topic.
Yeah.
So, oh God, okay. It's my turn for the Space Jam.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay. All right, I need to find my Kermit voice.
It's somewhere deep within you.
Yeah, okay. Should I like try out a Kermit voice and then go for it, or should you want me to just like wing it first off the bat?
No, you need to wing it.
Okay. Come on and slam, and welcome to the jam. Come on and slam if you want a jam.
It sounded like you just ate Kermit the Frog.
I think I sounded like Julia Child. Like, come on, slam. Beat the chicken till it's moist and you can slam it.
I would love to hear Julia Child sing the Space Jam theme.
Me too.
Oh, you know what? Someone needs to take different bits of audio from Julia Child from episodes of her TV show and make it into the Space Jam theme like people do with like president speeches and stuff.
Yes.
Come on. So and if anyone... come and welcome to the jam.
She must have talked about jam on one episode.
I'm sure. It might be hard to get her to say "wass up" or
"wass up."
Hey DJ, turn it up. QCD, gonna burn it up.
I think someone out there needs to create this. So if you have the skills, please, please do this. Jeremy Piven.
Oh my God! What?
I got Jeremy Piven.
That's kind of amazing.
We haven't had a celebrity as a topic yet.
Unless you count Margaret Rinkle.
She's not a celebrity.
Yeah.
Maggie Rinks.
Maggie Rinks. Jeremy Piven. Okay. So for those who may not know, who is Jeremy Piven?
Jeremy Piven is an actor. Mm-hmm. Best known for his role as Ari Gold in the series Entourage, and also known for the sitcom Ellen back in the day.
Wait, really?
He played the role of Spence Kovac.
I did not realize that.
But pretty big, film and television career, but those are his main recognizable roles. Jeremy Piven was born in New York City in Manhattan. And his parents were both actors and drama teachers. And then he grew up in Evanston, Illinois. He was raised Reconstructionist Jewish. Hmm. I don't know if we can incorporate that. played Bernardo in West Side Story in high school.
Okay.
Good information.
He trained at his parents' theater workshop, the Piven Theater Workshop. He attended Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, where he departed after his sophomore year to attend New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, which is a very prestigious drama program. He left Tisch during his senior year to pursue acting, and is an alumnus of the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity. Okay. Spent a semester at the National Theater Institute at the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center in Waterford, Connecticut. He has appeared in a number of films with John Cusack, who is also from Evanston, and is a fellow alumnus of the Piven Theater Workshop, as are Cusack's sisters, Joan and Anne. Piven and Cusack once shared an apartment and have been friends since high school.
What is it like to hang out with Jeremy Piven and John Cusack?
See, I would much rather hang out with John Cusack than Jeremy Piven, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get to why.
Yeah, The next like section is all about his career and all the things that he was in. And then there's like kind of a surprisingly long section about what we want to talk about and
where I first
became familiar with Jeremy Piven was when he was in the Broadway revival of David Mamet's Speed the Plow, which we saw.
Yeah. It was 2008.
2008, yes. And so we saw this, and we did not see Jeremy Piven, correct?
That's correct. We saw William H. Macy?
Well, it was William H. Macy.
Wait, who did we see?
Yeah, you're right. It was William H. Macy, Raul Esparza, and Elizabeth Moss is who we saw.
Right.
So William H. Macy took over for Jeremy Piven, because he was out of the run of Speed the Plow at that point. Which also, like, if you think about that for, like, a second, it doesn't super make a lot of sense that...
No.
Like, William H. Macy and Jeremy Piven are not, like, the same type.
Well, William H. Macy and David Mamet are buddies. And BFFs. William H. Macy, like, knows all of his plays, so he probably already had the whole thing down, was just like, yep, I'll step in.
Yeah. So this play was supposed to run from October 2008 through February 2009, and not that long into the run, Piven missed several performances, got very sick, and said that he would not be coming back to the play. And it was revealed so that supposedly the illness was called hydragaria, which is a disease caused by exposure to mercury. So he basically said that he had mercury poisoning.
Yep.
And that's why he couldn't continue. And David Mamet famously quipped that Jeremy Piven was leaving the play to pursue a career as a thermometer.
And the rumors that spread as to how he got mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
One theory was that he had raw fish twice a day for 20 years, which would be crazy.
That might
be. And the other explanation is an herbal remedy that Piven was taking that may have had mercury in it.
That also might do it.
That's everything there is to know about Jeremy Piven. So how are we going to write a comedy rock song about Jeremy Piven?
Well, does anything like specifically stand out to you as far as a specific genre of rock that we should try to emulate based on Piven's career and possible mercury poisoning?
Possibly. I mean, I'm thinking about like a very kind of braggadocious style of like almost like, almost in the style of Lonely Island, mm-hmm. where they're like bragging about their money and their career and their, you know, fame.
Yeah, I guess we should also say that something that's not covered in this article is that Jeremy Piven doesn't have the best reputation. He has a rep for being kind of an asshole among his like co-stars and also like being a bit of a diva. Would you say that that's like an accurate way to put it?
Well, we can tweet at him to find out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely tweet at Jeremy Piven. Oh, God.
Hey, are you an asshole?
Yeah. Sir? Sir?
Sir? Mr. Piven.
God.
So I'm thinking like a almost like a rap rock kind of a song from Jeremy's own perspective.
About
what do you think it should be?
I don't know. I was just hoping you would do my work for me. Yeah.
I do think we should bring in our special guest for this one. It seems right up his alley.
I think so too. So a few years ago, Scott and my fiance Josh and our friend Brian formed a comedy rap group called Small Batch Mafia.
Indeed.
And you can find them on SoundCloud. They have a good handful of songs up on SoundCloud, Small Batch mm-hmm. Mafia. And they have a music video. So I think he would be a great addition to sing this song.
Yeah, I think we should do our comedy rock song about Jeremy Piven as performed by Small Batch Mafia.
Which, this is actually perfect, because as Scott was saying, this kind of superficially tough, braggadocious, kind of like quote-unquote hard persona was the same one that Small Batch Mafia adopted on stage, even though they were like, I don't know, three kind of huggable looking white boys. They like tried to be very street, I guess, is a good way to put it.
So I have a little more to say about comedy rock.
Okay.
One thing we didn't really mention is that in addition to just being funny songs, most mm-hmm. comedy rock songs also say something about the genre of rock. You know, for instance, Spinal Tap is sort of a love letter to like 80s hair metal, and a lot of the songs like mention rock and roll in the same way that those 80s hair metal songs do, but then they're also ridiculous, like Sex Farm and things like that. So
yeah,
it pokes fun at rock traditions as well as like, you know, the rock society, you know, the rock culture.
Yeah, it's a parody, not just of the music. It's a parody of the whole culture and fandom surrounding right. rock.
Exactly. Yes. There's also an element of sophomoric humor in a lot of comedy rock. You know, Frank Zappa loved joking about fecal matter and big boobs and, you know, things like that. So not necessarily something we have to throw in, but it's kind of common for the genre.
I think it sounds like that's a good match for Jeremy Piven. Yeah, actually.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I think our comedy rock song about Jeremy Piven is going to emulate the sound of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, you know, hard driving rock, but with a lot of rapped lyric over the top of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I learned some things about Jeremy Piven.
Do tell.
He seems like a douchebag. I guess. So this is from, granted, this is from an article in a tabloid. But he, so while his Wikipedia article rather unbiasedly cites that he left the production of Speed the Plow because of mercury poisoning, it really did not go, I like cannot stress enough like how eye-rolly that was in the Broadway community, and how like nobody believed that, like that like was just, people really thought it was an excuse. And Elizabeth Moss, who was starring alongside him at the time, said, "We were all surprised. It came out of nowhere. He just didn't come back one day. I saw him like a month later at the Golden Globes when he was supposed to be really sick." And the Speed the Plow incident like really cemented Piven's reputation as a diva. But he says that he is anything other than a prima donna. He has insisted, quote, "I'm a stage actor from Chicago. I have nothing in common with the Hollywood sharks of this world who are motivated by money." And he and John Cusack have had a falling out.
Oh no.
Because apparently, supposedly from Piven's perspective, Cusack couldn't handle him getting successful. So when asked about John Cusack handling Piven's success, Piven replied, "No comment. I mean, you could fill in the blank, I bet. It just says so much about a person if he has space for other people's success." And then of his Entourage co-stars, he said, "Well, you know, we were in two separate worlds on set. I represented the professional world and they represented the Peter Pan syndrome."
Ooh.
Woof. Jeez. Rude. He's also been said to treat wait staff very badly, and he's left DVDs of Entourage as tips instead of money. And which is like the worst thing I've ever heard. And there's a rumor that in 2007 he was banned from every branch of the Japanese sushi chain Nobu after he insulted the staff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he really sounds like a dick and a half. And he once said, apparently told an ex-girlfriend, well, she was his girlfriend at the time, but a guy came up and asked for his autograph, and then afterward, Jeremy said, "That man was too fat to be in my personal space."
Oof.
Yeah, so I think he's kind of an asswipe. But it seems like he has this really, like, bizarre vision of himself as this, like, small-town actor, which, like, doesn't really make sense. He's also notorious for womanizing. And is a playboy, a very notorious playboy. And if you were to guess how old Jeremy Piven is, Scott, how old would you guess he is?
Well, I did see his age on the Wikipedia article. Yeah, but it's older than I thought.
It's a lot older than I thought. He's 50.
No, he's 51.
51. There you go. But like, that's a lot older than I thought.
He's solidly over the hill.
Yeah, for sure. So he does not think it. So I think that's going to be the angle of the song, is like a guy
representing the professional world. Yeah. A guy doing just what he should.
Yeah. But he's A total douchebag.
Okay, go on. A guy.
Oh, a guy trying to convince you that he is just a small town guy, no ego, just doing his job, just being a professional. But all of the examples that he gives you of that are like really out of touch with reality.
I don't know. I feel like a little bit uneasy about writing this song targeting a specific, you know, living, volatile celebrity. But on the other hand, I'm like, meh, who cares?
There's literally no way this will ever reach him in any capacity.
Famous last words. Okay, here we go.
We're in the Peter Pan world. So
yeah, we are. All right, well, let's get your lyrics and let's talk to Josh. Lyrics?
I have lyrics about...
That's great.
Mr. Piven.
Okay.
All right. This got a little bit longer than I thought, but it's like kind of rap, so it goes quickly.
Sure.
So I think it's okay. All right. I'm just going to launch into it. Here we go. Rapped verse, sung chorus.
Great.
Evanston's not a place on the map of fame. Small hood, quiet town, and your boy's the same. Hollywood hasn't changed me, brought my name acclaim, made it blood, sweat, and tears, but humble I remain. Then the chorus. Just your average guy with my average life, eating fish for 20 years, banging every actor's wife. Just a normal dude with a normal tude, leaving tips of DVDs after I eat my food. And then there's the second verse. I've only got a small collection of cars, and if you put out enough, I'll let you see my garage. Not my fault I work with a cast of rubes who get insulted when I yell, let me see those boobs! You said sophomoric humor.
Love it.
Then the chorus again. Just your average guy with my average life. Got a rep like I'm an ass, though I can't see why. Just a normal dude with a normal tude. Just jealous that you're not me, so I'm allowed to be rude. That's it.
The personality comes shining through those lyrics.
Oh, good.
I love it.
Good. Okay.
And rhyming rubes with boobs is maybe your finest work ever.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Well, let's bring Josh in to talk about it and talk about his style of comedy rap, and then we'll do the song.
Yeah, sounds good.
So Shannon.
Yeah.
We have a special guest with us.
We do have a special guest with us.
Oh my God, who?
It's the ghost haunting my apartment.
Yeah. Wait, first of all, let us address that when we talked to Megan about this, she said she's pretty sure it was just her and you didn't notice. Anyway, this is Josh. This is my fiance, who you know very well also. So it's weird to introduce him to you.
But introduce him to our listeners.
Yes. So Josh was the lead singer and primary
singer is kind of a stretch.
Yeah, there wasn't really much of any singing ever.
Lead rapper?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, lead rapper.
Vocalist.
Let's dope
vocalist.
MC.
Oh god. Lead vocalist.
I'm sorry, my titles matter to me. So.
Lead vocalist and primary writer behind all of the Small Batch Mafia comedy parody rap songs that Scott
that swept the nation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But you can still check them out on SoundCloud, as I mentioned, Small Batch Mafia. And they played in some comedy clubs and bars in QED in Queens and the Unicorn in Chinatown and Standing Room in Long Island City.
Sure. The Pit. Did you say The Pit?
No, I didn't say The Pit. Pit. People's Improv Theater.
So Josh.
Yeah.
We wanted to have you on to talk about your knowledge and experience with comedy rock and comedy rap and tell us a little bit about what goes into writing from that perspective.
That's broad. well, with my years and years of expertise, I guess that with Small Batch specifically, at least, what the original idea was sort of parroting a very specific sort of subgenre of rap, which was white guys who are bad at rapping, but like don't know. Basically, there's a lot of them out there. They all went to Duke and stuff.
Frat rap.
So parroting that is will mainly involve just like listening to the themes and the songs that they would use over and over again, which is like college partying and, you know, then finding some sort of way to twist it. So a lot of comedy music, I guess, is really built around the premise of, okay, there's like one joke a lot of times in a lot of songs, and it's, you know, we're building up to this chorus where the twist comes, where the punchline's gonna lead. And so that can lead to what I think is a lot of bad comedy music, because, like, you know, it gets redundant after about 30 seconds once you find out what the joke is.
And the songs are really short usually.
Yeah,
too.
The songs tend to be short because it's hard. It's hard to sustain something that's going to actually engage and continually surprise and bring enjoyment to a listener over the course of a 6-minute song. You know, Alice's Restaurant aside, I guess. But you don't know what that reference is, do you?
No.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Well, listeners,
too cool for me. I guess.
Listeners with a spare 25 minutes can listen to Alice's Restaurant.
Okay.
And luckily for us, we can only write a short song, so
yeah,
you don't have to worry about that. Who are your favorite comedy rock or comedy rap artists?
And who do you think influenced you the most? Also,
I think the top two people out there right now. I mean, well, obviously The Lonely Island is huge, and you know, that was happening while I was in college, and I think that, like, you know, it was unique because, like, literally every college party you went to was at some point gonna play I'm on a Boat, even though, like, it's a joke song, but it got the same play and the same, you know, cultural saturation that any, you know, regular popular pop song did. So definitely The Lonely Island. I guess the other guy out there right now that I really like that is doing something I think interesting is Lil Dicky, who you know, came out primarily in comedy rap, but now he has also, you know, he released an album that has some more sort of heartfelt songs, and he just released a music video for his Pillow Talking song, which, have any of you guys seen that?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's like an 8-minute song, but it's it's good. It's amazing. So he does really, really, I think, innovative and creative stuff, and sort of has pushed the idea of what comedy rap can be in a way that I really find interesting.
Cool. So I guess the last question for you, Josh, is what are your feelings on Jeremy Piven?
What are my feelings on Jeremy Piven?
Yeah.
I think I watched like a season of Entourage one
Did
time.
Did you?
I think so.
I'm surprised about you.
In college, I think I watched one with some friends. I don't really remember. It might not have even been a whole season. I do not have many strong opinions about Jeremy Piven, I guess. I don't know. Do I need to get like a hot take on Jeremy Piven to make this work?
I mean, you don't need a hot take on it because I already provided that in the lyrics.
Cool.
But our subject is literally just Jeremy Piven.
That's actually fucking great though.
And as you may or may not know, he has like a shitty reputation.
Yeah.
Like, he's like a womanizer and a diva, yeah, and like hard to work with.
Yeah.
And so it kind of very appropriately makes him a good subject for one of these comedy rap songs, since he has, sure, like a big inflated ego. So obviously it's going to be from his perspective.
Okay.
The whole conceit of the song is that he thinks he's just like an average small town guy, and then all the examples he gives are like not examples of things that are average in small town.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are you up for singing this for us?
I mean, I don't think I have a ton of choice here.
Oh, babe, don't say that. Don't make it out to be like that.
Are you going to come up with a DJ intro for yourself, Scott?
I could. Do you have a DJ name that you think goes with Jeremy Piven?
DJ Thermometer.
Oh, perfect. That's it.
Yeah.
And do we have a title of this song?
I don't know about a title.
I mean, there's just a normal dude.
Just a normal dude, just your average guy.
Let me see those boobs.
Let me see those boobs is good. Or it could just be, it doesn't have to be like exactly a lyric. Like it could be like Thermometer's Lament or something. Or like
or we could just call it Piven.
Piven.
Piven the musical.
We could just call it like Jeremy Piven's song.
Yeah. Or like, or what about Jeremy Piven Explained?
That's good.
It's a little like Slady.
Yeah, but I think it's funny because if it's coming from his perspective and he's like saying, this is my like treatise on like why I'm a nice guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeremy Piven Explained.
Here is DJ Thermometer presents Small Batch Mafia presents Shannon and Scott presents
Jeremy Piven Explained.
DJ Thermometer. Small Batch in the house.
Evanston's not a place on the map of fame. Small hood, quiet town, and your boy's the same. Hollywood hasn't changed me, brought my name acclaim. Made it blood, sweat, and tears, but humble I remain. Just your average guy with my average line.
Still pivy, pivy.
Eating fish for 20 years, begging every actor's wife. Just a normal dude with a normal tune. Leaving tips of DVDs after I eat my food. I've only got a small collection of cars, and if you put out enough, I'll let you see my garage. Not my fault I work with a cast of roofs who get insulted when I yell, let me see those boobs. Just an average guy with my average life. Gotta rap like I'm in ass, though I can't see why. Just a normal dude with a normal tune. Just jealous that you're not me, so I'm allowed to be rude. Piven out.
MC Triple Stout, out this bitch.
So we're tweeting this at Jeremy Piven, right?
I think that's a bad idea.
Why?
Cause I don't know. I don't want our podcast to be destroyed by Jeremy Piven.
What an honor.
We need a scandal.
I guess so. I mean, listen, we didn't say anything that wasn't already reported in The Sun, okay?
True.
So it's not like we're saying anything new.
And you know what? Jeremy Piven probably agrees with your lyrics.
Probably, actually. They paint him in a very favorable light.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll use it as his entrance. Doesn't he do like WWE stuff? I thought he did.
I think he did, yeah.
Really?
He can use it as his entrance music next time, yeah.
Joshua, how do you feel about Jeremy Piven now? Now that you've been him.
I mean, I have a whole lot of empathy for him. I really do. I feel where he's coming from. I went to my Piven place. And,
your Piven place.
Is that like the sunken place from Get Out?
Yeah, it's actually it's incredibly similar. You can't move and you're stuck inside and you're horrified looking out, but you know, you just can't help yourself. And I think that's how Jeremy Piven feels all the time.
Well, I think you did a very good job.
Special thanks, too, to MC Triple Stout, who sent us a track all the way from Hotlanta.
Hotlanta?
Yeah, even though he's the freaking Yoko Ono of Small Batch Mafia and broke up the band by moving to Georgia. Yeah,
by marrying John Lennon. What a bastard.
Thank you, Josh, for being on my podcast.
Yeah, whatever. You're welcome.
I think you're really embracing the Piven experience.
Yeah.
Here.
Sorry, I got too deep, guys. I went too deep.
No, but I feel good now because Megan Megan's been on the podcast twice before and you'd never been on the podcast. So it like made it seem like you weren't real and like you didn't love me.
Yeah. Well, I didn't exist until quite recently. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just made up a fiance.
You know what we can do now? We can create our own Oops All Fiancés episode by taking audio from Josh and Megan's interviews.
A Frankenstein monster episode.
I know.
That'd be great.
I know we wanted to do Oops All Fiancés, but it's going to, if we do it now, it'll be turned into like Oops All Significant Others.
Oops All SOs.
Something gross like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
If people want to see comedy music in New York, Joshua, where should they go?
We used to do shows at QED out in Astoria quite a bit. There's a show hosted every month by our good friend Rob Paravonian, who many of you probably would know and remember from his Pachelbel rant, which was one of like the original YouTube videos to go viral back in the day. And Rob is still hosting a show every month and putting out really great stuff on YouTube. If you check out his YouTube channel, he has a lot of really, really good content that he's constantly updating. You can follow him on Twitter where he puts out a lot of his stuff. He's at Rob P. Rocks. Highly recommend him.
If you want to follow Small Batch Mafia.
I don't tweet.
He doesn't tweet.
I haven't tweeted in like 2 years.
But it's Small Batch Mafia.
Don't do that.
It's Small Batch Mafia on Twitter, and you can check out their, they have like an EP basically up on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And well, check out our music video.
Go to YouTube. Don't go to our SoundCloud. We have some music videos out on YouTube. That's better than our SoundCloud stuff.
All right.
Check out Street Creepin'.
Yeah.
Street Creepin' on YouTube. Small Batch Mafia.
And if you would like to suggest salad spinners to us or tell us about your favorite comedy rock that we should check out, you should follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. And please send us your thoughts, feelings, emotions, breakfast food preferences.
Team Pancake.
Oh, God. Ugh, can't believe I'm marrying you.
Jeez. Yeah. Jeremy Piven would be Team Pancake.
Yeah, of course he would. Ugh.
No, Jeremy Piven would be, he'd be a fancy waffle boy and wouldn't even know that he was a fancy boy because he likes waffles.
Waffles aren't fancy.
I'm a man of the people and I like pancakes. That's all I'm saying.
Whatever. If you would like a shout out on the show, you can also give us a review on iTunes. It really helps us get noticed on the service. So we would appreciate a review if you have the time and love for us.
And I also just want to plug, if you are in Southern California, come check out Escape to Margaritaville playing May 9th through early July in San Diego at the La Jolla Playhouse. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, Scott's been doing some really cool work on the new Jimmy Buffett musical, in case you couldn't tell from the title that it was a Jimmy Buffett musical. But it's very cool. It's just funny listening to you say Escape to Margaritaville. Any spray, thank you all for listening. And if you could share us with one person this week, that would be awesome. Sharing things is always great, and sharing healthy salads is even better.
It's National Share a Salad Week, so do it.
National Share a Salad with a Sibling Week, since we get so specific with these things now. Right. Anyway.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Jeremy Piven.
And together, we're...
we're...
Piven out!
1, 2, 3, 4. Beat the chicken till it's moist and you can slam it.